Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, February 3rd.
It is.
Yes, it is, Kelsey. Today is the day, actually, before our anniversary here at LA Talk Radio.
Oh, wow.
February 4th, 2008 is when I launched the station.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So congratulations. 8 years tomorrow. I know. People have been expecting a party, and I still haven't organized one yet, but maybe
yeah.
We'll do one, you know. We can do it any time this month, I guess. It doesn't have to be on that day.
Right. Oh, we should totally do it.
Yeah, I know. And I guess I better decide if I want to plan, give people enough time to plan, you know.
Sure.
But we'll see. You know, sometimes you throw parties and nobody comes, you know, or not as many people.
Right.
And so it can be disappointing. So it depends, you know. I don't know. What do you think is the best time to throw, like, a party? Like, because I don't want to do it at night, you know. So,
okay.
Because people are usually busy at night and stuff on weekends and whatever.
Right.
But, like, does a Saturday afternoon sound good? Like, around 12, 1 o'clock on a Saturday? Does that sound good?
That might be okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because most people are probably free at that time.
Yeah.
Can spare an hour or two, right?
Sure. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, I think
so
that'd be
we'll
good.
We'll try that and we'll see. Yeah, I like parties. We need reasons to party.
I
so
agree.
We have a good reason.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's very exciting to me, you know, because who would have thought, you know, we would have lasted 8 years, you know? And,
I know. It's a good, great accomplishment.
And hopefully a lot more. Many more years to come.
It will.
Yeah. But it was funny because I remember at the time I was doing other work. I was I had my own business. I was providing some IT services, computer services to companies, online marketing, advertising on Google, and things like that. Accounting, I was doing accounting for companies.
So you've always been really entrepreneurial.
I guess I have, yeah. I mean, I had my computer animation company back in the 90s, you know, and that was fun. So, but I never built something that's like this big, you know. I mean, this is obviously not huge, but it's bigger than anything I've ever done before.
Yes.
You know. So it's pretty cool, and, you know, to see a lot of people coming in here smiling, being happy to have their own radio shows and stuff.
That is cool.
It's very rewarding, you know. So, I mean, it's not going to make me a millionaire or anything, but there's a lot of satisfaction from the work, so I like that.
That's the most important part.
Yeah, I never really even set out to make it into a business, you know. It was just something I just wanted to try and see where it was going to go.
Right.
You know, so that's cool. Yeah, 8 years ago. Do you remember where you were 8 years ago?
Oh, my gosh.
You were still in Texas, right?
I was. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
8 years ago, you were just out of high school, right?
That's about right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't believe that.
But you've done a lot
goodness.
In 8 years, too, obviously.
Yeah, you could say so. I mean, it's funny. Yeah. Some days I wake up and I think, oh, gosh, I've, you know, come a long way. And then some days I wake up and I think, oh, goodness, where did
enough,
the time
right?
go? And I haven't done anything. What am I doing with my life? But
isn't that funny, though?
It is, yes. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, moods are funny. But yes, 8 years ago, I was graduating from high school with little to no idea what I wanted to do. And some things never change. No, but it was a great time in my life. That was fun.
Yeah.
I was just about to go to Mexico on my senior trip. So,
oh, yeah.
It was so
oh,
much
nice.
Fun. We went to Cancun.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I've
typical.
Heard it's
very typical.
There, huh?
You've never been?
No, I've never been to
Oh, you Japan. Have to go. Mexico's actually one of my favorite places.
Is it really?
I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you see, to me, I just, when I think Mexico, I picture like Tijuana and, you know, and those places where they take you on the cruises, and they're not great. I know on the other side of the country and the other coast, It's beautiful, like Cancun and stuff.
Yeah, and everything's just really chill. And yeah. I don't know. I like
it. I know. I got to check it out because it's very inexpensive to travel there.
That's the best part.
Yeah, especially to Cabo. I guess for just a few hundred bucks, you can have like an all-inclusive few days there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people go there. I don't know. I'm not crazy about Mexico, but I mean, if I had the opportunity to take a trip, I'd go to Hawaii or something,
sure.
or even the Caribbean, which I've been to both, you know, but.
Likewise. Those are great destinations as well.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather stay in the States if I can, you know.
I know. Well, especially now. It's different now because
it is,
even know? 8 years ago, you know, Mexico was a different story. It wasn't as dangerous and
right.
people weren't really worried about traveling there.
That's
and
true.
There weren't all
it's
these
not as bad.
Horror stories. I mean, there were horror stories, but not nearly like it is now. So
yeah, I know.
You know, it's kind of changed.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look, I understand people liking adventures and everything, but they got to make sure it's calculated, the risk.
Sure.
You know, like, over Somalia, I guess an airplane blew up.
Oh.
A blast blew a hole in the plane, and a passenger was sucked out and flew out of the plane. Can
oh my
you
gosh.
Imagine that?
That's like everybody's worst nightmare when
you
get
know,
on a plane, right?
I know. And I'm saying again, you know, why do people travel in those places, you know? I guess people that live there have to.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm just so happy to live in the United States, you know.
Likewise.
And that's why I'm saying, you know, if I can go to Hawaii and still enjoy tropical weather and everything and still have the conveniences of being in the States, why not, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Although, you know, I mean, so that's why when I travel, I like to travel to Europe because it's more or less like here, you know. So it's not too dangerous. Although today things have changed, but
I like Europe. I do. I've never been to Hawaii. That's on my list.
Oh, you gotta go.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Yeah.
It doesn't
matter what
island
you go on.
Especially since I'm closer to it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Being in California, you know? It's not too far, so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, time to think of your next vacation.
I know.
I mean, I'd very much like to go to Hawaii. Maybe I will. I've been there a few times, actually, but you never get old. I mean, it never gets old because there's a lot to do. There's the different islands. So every island has got its own vibe and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so if you want a romantic time, you go to Kauai or something.
Right.
If you want more touristy, you go to Waikiki to Honolulu, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, there's a lot to do there for sure, you know. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to be talking about improving your life like we like to do here.
I know. I loved yesterday's guest.
Yesterday,
he was great.
Yesterday we had Randy...
Bell,
that's right. Yeah. God, I forget so fast. Dr. Randy Bell, and he wrote the book Rich Habits, Rich Lives. I actually started reading it, and I think I'm ready to make some change in my life.
Really?
I really
That's
do,
great.
Yeah. Because when you start examining your life, like, from the four different perspectives...
That's the thing. You don't even realize that, you know, you may be deficient in some areas until you start looking at it closely and break everything up, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Right. Well, here comes our guest right now, so we're going to go ahead and take this. And we're going to be joined by Megan Toll. Megan, are you with us this morning?
I am.
Thank you very much for calling in. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing great.
We're good.
I can recognize it.
And Kelsey.
And Kelsey, of course. I can recognize a Texas area code. Am I correct?
Yes.
Oh, where in Texas
are
Austin,
you? Austin, Texas.
Oh, 512.
There you go. You see, I recognized it.
Yes, I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
I saw that. I read about you, Kelsey. Yeah. So
wow.
You grew up in this area, huh?
I did. I went to the University of Texas at Austin, so Austin's kind of a second home.
Wow.
Great.
Megan, have you always lived there, or did you move there from elsewhere?
No, I'm originally from Ohio.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's interesting. So how does one end up in Austin?
That's a long story.
Oh, okay.
It was actually a relationship that led me here, but that didn't go very well, but it brought me here, and I love it here, and I found my ultimate sweetheart here. So.
Oh, yay.
Wow, yeah, you see? I mean, often I hear those stories, you know, someone following their better half and stuff, you know, and being supportive and everything, and then it just doesn't work out, you know, but it's good because you turn it into something positive. And you've made a life for yourself in that new place.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. Megan, so tell us a little bit about what you do. You have a book out called The Passion Belief Method, Own Your Value and Earn Your Worth in Business. So before we get into the book, tell us a little bit about your background, what it is that you do.
Yeah, so I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years, and I've had 7 different businesses over the years.
Wow.
I'm very passionate about helping people turn their passion into a highly lucrative business or career that they love that really makes a difference and impact in the world. So I'll share a little bit of my background, so you know where I'm coming from. But I unfortunately, tragically lost my husband and the father of my son at the age of 30. Mm. And after that, I was determined not to be a victim, and I made a promise to myself that I really wanted to make the most of my life and make my 2.5-year-old son, Cameron, my number one priority. So I decided to quit my corporate job. I was a trainer and manager for an international skincare company for 9.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really wanted to have that flexibility in my schedule and follow my entrepreneurial passion. So I jumped in with both feet. I was really, of course, fearful of the new change, but I really committed to learning everything I needed to do to be successful in my new venture. That first year in business, I tripled my income, and I had a lot of people inquiring what I was doing to be so successful, and they asked if I can help them. So that's when my business coaching started about 15 years ago, and led me to the development of my passion belief method. So it was really my dream for about 10 years to write this book. And my life has been full of so many incredible experiences, some positive and some very challenging, but they all offered great learning opportunities and life lessons. Mm-hmm. So with my experience and in you know, my own personal ups and downs through business, and also what I've learned through working with hundreds of business professionals and entrepreneurs over the years, it really allowed me to experience firsthand where they struggle most, which led to the development of the Passion Belief Method, which is 5 steps to your to becoming your empowered self.
Okay, so you actually had some background and training and everything beforehand. So it's not something that you just jumped into without knowing what it is. So it's pretty much your career has prepared you for something like this, and then you finally decided to go on your own and follow your dream. That's how it sounds.
Absolutely.
Like.
I have a strong background in sales and marketing, you know, but it really has evolved over the years. And, you know, the traditional method of selling way back when where it was basically ego-based, and, you know, you're focusing on, you know, the features and the benefits, and, you know, you have to buy this because it's so great, and I'm so great kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That really was out of alignment for me, and I struggled with that, although I was pretty competitive in the sales world and was a trainer for a while. But I really have been able to get in alignment with what feels good to me in terms of turning selling into more of serving, you know, so you're serving your clients and really offering them a solution, you know, with you know, your programs or services. So that's what I've adopted, and that's made a big difference in really allowing me to feel more in integrity with, you know, presenting myself and what I offer, and I teach others to do the same.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it sounds like, you know, I think that need to go out there and do your own thing and stuff is so important, you know, and you got to follow it Because otherwise, it's always going to nag at you, you know, like, what if? What if I try that? You know, and passing all your skills and everything, you know, I mean, like you mentioned, sales has changed quite a bit, I would say, in the past 20 years. And people don't like to be sold to, right? I mean, today it's a whole different, like, you have to create a relationship and all that stuff with the customer.
Absolutely, yeah. And you really hit the nail on the head with, it is all about relationship building and establishing that trust.
Right.
And them seeing you as, like, a trusted advisor, somebody that they can follow and use as a guide to help them get from where they are to where they want to be.
Mm.
Yeah. So the subtitle of your book is Own Your Value and Earn Your Worth. So this is obviously, I mean, so are we talking only about in business, or can this be applied to personal life as well?
Mm. So it is a business book, but it absolutely offers principles that can be applied to your day-to-day life. One of the biggest challenges that I've seen for many business professionals out there is, you know, they really do not understand the unique value of the expertise or services that they offer, which results in a lack of confidence about their worth in the workplace or in their business. And this really prevents them from charging or asking for what they're worth.
Right.
So in order to truly own your value, you must identify what makes you unique.
Right.
And this, you know, also, you know, I'm talking about business professionals, but, you know, I think it's really important for everybody to understand what makes them unique. You know, what do you bring to the table that's different? And there's actually two steps to this process. You want to ask yourself, what are your God-given gifts or talents? What are your strengths or skills, your education and your experience? Now, there's no two people alike. We all have something different that we're bringing, and that is our unique value. So then the second step is determining how your value can be of service to others. Right. So how does this value provide a solution to others, or if you're in business, to your ideal clients?
Mm-hmm.
How does it address their problems or challenges? And when you get crystal clear on this, this is where your value becomes very evident, and then you'll have the confidence as an end result of this process. And with this newfound confidence, you will then be comfortable to present yourself and to ask for what you're worth and get it.
Right. And I think you're referring to a lot of people wanting to ask for a raise and being afraid because of not enough confidence or fear of rejection or something like that. And I so I totally agree with you. I think if you feel that you're worth a lot, then you come from a position of strength in the negotiation for your salary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, pinpointing your strengths and being able to, you know, hone those skills even more is really advantageous and helpful to your confidence.
Exactly. I think so many times we focus on what we can't do or what we're not good at and give that too much energy. And, you know, it's important to acknowledge it. And if it's important enough for your, you know, career or business to get better at those things, that's one thing. But I'm all about focus on what you're good at and outsource or have somebody else do the other stuff,
yeah.
Right? Because if you don't love it, then you're not going to be good at it and you're not going to thrive.
That's true. That's what I do with the stuff I don't like in the business. If I don't like it, I don't do it. And then it, you know, so you got to find somebody, you know, it's like, because I try to stay away from the things I don't enjoy doing, but they have to be done. And you know, so I've been told, you know, if you don't want to do it, give it to somebody. So focus on what you're good at and let somebody else do the other stuff. So
exactly.
I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah. Well, that, you know, I mean, that sounds interesting. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Megan Tall, and the book is The Passion Belief Method. And so your website says you're a transformational leader for business and life. I can see how you can inspire a lot of people based on your stories and your experience. I see that we found your website. It's megantull.com, M-E-G-A-N-T-U-L-L.com. You guys can find out lots more. I see you do coaching and training, too. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I offer a number of services to assist individuals. I offer one-on-one mentorship programs or even VIP days where I work with individuals on certain areas. You know, one of the main things is to help them overcome blocks or barriers that are preventing them from reaching their true potential or potentially sabotaging their success. I also help people package their expertise into high-end programs and packages to really up-level their business. But it's all, you know, about becoming an expert in your industry and standing out in the marketplace and serving with your gifts and making an impact in the world. And I help professionals to be able to do that with my various different programs and trainings.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I've noticed that every person has their own talents, their own skills and stuff. And like you said, no two people are the same. And I think people need to sometimes understand that, you know, what they do does contribute to society in one way or another. And everybody's worth something, you know. I mean, it's just like, I think it's a sad situation when you work somewhere for a long time and you're afraid to ask for a raise, you know, because you don't think you deserve one.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the flip side of that, too, Sam, where there's individuals out there that are kind of living their life on autopilot. And this is another inspiration to write the book because, you know, these individuals are living a life that is passionless. You know, they're comfortable being uncomfortable and they're stuck in this rut and they're doing what they think they need to do versus what they want to do. But the folks out there that really have, you know, this burning desire that there's something more, you know, that you have that, I want to tell you that you do have a choice to make. You know, you don't have to stay stuck. You can actually choose a different path. Mm-hmm. And Dolly Parton says a great quote, you know, find out who you are and do it on purpose. And, you know, the people who create the life of their dreams and live their passion have these three things in common. Number one, they have that burning desire that no longer allows them to ignore their passion. Number two, they're 100% committed to making serious changes in their life. Mm-hmm. And finally, number three, they start taking responsibility for their actions and their results.
Right.
Because until you take responsibility and realize that you are where you are because of your own choices and your own decisions, you know, until then you can't really decide that you're going to make a change in your life. But it's so liberating to know that, you know, it's up to you to decide to go after your dreams and to reach your goals in all areas of your life.
Yeah, and it's totally up to you. You know, some people just sit at home and wait for things to come to them, but it just doesn't work that way, you know.
But that was so courageous of you. I mean, having lost your husband and having being a single mom to quit your job and start your own business.
Yeah,
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, Kelsey, you know, it was beyond, it was bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you become successful at something, often it's you're driven and motivated by something bigger than yourself. So in my case, it was I wanted to be successful so I can be there for my son. I wanted to be able to free up my schedule to be there for him. So even though it was so scary to do that, you know, give up my income and my health insurance and all of that and take that leap of faith, my why was so much greater than the fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what motivated me to do it. And that's what kind of motivated me each and every day, even though it was, you know, such a challenge at times, feeling like I was pushing a rock up a hill.
Right.
But that why, you know, really helped me stay motivated each day and do what I needed to do to be successful.
Yeah.
Now, once you combine having a why bigger than you for your motivation and then combine that with being in alignment with your passion and your values and your purpose, then you can have, you can tap into the abundance that's yours out there, and you start tapping into the flow, and you start attracting people to support you in your goals. You start attracting opportunities to support you, and no longer do you go from, you know, struggling and pushing a rock up a hill, which I've done much of my life. But once you're able to get into alignment with those things, that your passion, your values, your purpose, everything starts to flow.
Yeah, and I think that's the hardest thing in life, is discovering your purpose.
Yeah.
You do definitely have to take some time and do some soul searching and dig deep and discover what that is for you.
Yeah. Well, sounds fascinating, Megan. The book is, again, The Passion Belief Method. And give you a website again, Megan.
So you can go to megantull.com, M-E-G-A-N-T-U-L-L.com, and then also Passion Belief Method is another site you can go to get information directly on the book itself. I have a video book trailer there and my Amazon link that you can go and purchase the book. So those are the two sites.
Sounds great. And you have success tools on the website and the blog and everything, so...
Thank you.
Yeah, so
all kinds of free gifts.
Yeah, you've got quite a full life, Megan. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Much success with the book. Everybody, go out, get the book, get your value up there, and go and ask for what you deserve. Really. So
thank you for having me.
Of course, all the best to you, Megan, and much success.
You too.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye.
How do I recognize all these area codes?
I know. That I'm is so funny.
Isn't it? Did I used to be a telephone operator?
Well, it's hilarious because 512, I mean, that sticks in my head.
I know. And not many people know about it, you know. It's like you ask someone, well, what's Austin's area code? Who would know, right?
I know. It was really funny the other day because an 830 number called me, which is my... hometown area code from Texas, and I was like, oh my gosh. When a new number always calls me, I'm always like, oh gosh,
who is this
and what do they want
from me?
You know, and it's like, I don't know, I don't like the feeling, because you're like, oh, did I do something? I don't know. And it's totally unmerited, but I don't like it. And so I answered, and they said, oh yeah, I have a Gymr subscription, and I had a problem with my credit card or something. Whoa. And I thought, oh my gosh, how funny. What a small world it is.
Small world, yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you to Megan for the great interview. I think the book sounds fascinating. I'm going to check it out.
I am too.
There's a free sample chapter on the website too, so you guys can check it out at megantull.com. Okay. So... we were talking about yesterday's guest, too.
Yeah.
Randy Bell. And I wanted to tell you, I picked up the book and I realized there's a lot I need to do in my life, you know?
Yeah. So what's your main...
Yeah, because it makes you, like, examine your life, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
So, yeah. Well, it's kind of embarrassing to discuss what I'm lacking in my life, you know? But let's just say in every aspect, he divides our being or whatever... into four parts, the me, we, you, be, do.
Yeah.
Right. And that kind of covers like your social life, your personal life, you know, spiritual and so forth. So, so when you start doing inventory of the things you do in your life, you're like, well, maybe I should be doing some other things too, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So I might actually take that into heart and develop some good habits for a change.
That'd be great. Yeah, huh? Likewise. I started reading it as well, as promised.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really intriguing. I mean, I'll finish it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But it's pretty encouraging. That book is Rich Habits, Rich Lives. But Megan, thank you for calling in. And, I think it's very important to, and we were talking about this before, about knowing that you're worth something, you know,
because, right.
Like you said, you know, sometimes I'm not sure if I'm doing enough and all
right.
that
Right. I
stuff,
mean, when our career coach came in and all of that stuff a few weeks ago, yeah, it's so interesting. And, you know, it's easier said than done, I think, because especially as a young adult, you know, discovering really what your passion is and what you want to do and what you're here for is so hard. And sometimes I kind of think it's out of our control. I mean, I want to think that you can be proactive about it, and maybe you can.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken some steps to be proactive about it, you know, trying lots of different things and kind of seeing what I like. And I have a very much more clear idea now.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I think that it kind of comes with time, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
It's one of those mysteries of life,
I think. It will come with time. Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, look, you're still young. You're still trying to figure out your future and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know that that you can really plan your entire future when you're 26. You know, I mean,
right.
You can plan, let's say, for the next 10 years, but then if you really set goals and everything and can run long distance, then maybe you can, you know.
Yeah. But that's the funny thing is they say when you're planning, then that's when life happens and changes everything. So, right. You know, things come up and things change. So I don't know. I guess the moral of the story is just stay positive, work hard, and try your best to plan and live a healthy, happy life.
Yep. So we haven't talked much about the Iowa caucuses on Monday because, well, we had a guest here yesterday and we didn't have much time to talk
We didn't want
about.
To offend him.
Exactly.
With our views.
But I guess Rand Paul decided to drop out and, you know, he got like a 4% vote or something, which is right. not a, you know, nothing impressive at all. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Ted Cruz won with 28%. Then Donald Trump had 24%, which you see how the polls are not really accurate.
I mean, oh my gosh, I know.
You know, he was like in the 30%. You know, and suddenly he's like second. So it shows you once people actually go to the polls, they don't necessarily vote the way they said they would. You know,
right?
And so, and then Rubio came in third with just a percentage point behind Trump,
right?
Which is amazing to me. I mean, it's very encouraging to me because based on the polls, I thought, well, he doesn't stand a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because it became like a two-person race, and then you suddenly realize, and they're talking about it here, that Rubio probably was the biggest winner that night.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody expected him to do that well.
Right.
You know, and he's like a very possible third contender. And we'll see what happens in New Hampshire next week. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you just never know.
You never know, you know. But I think, I really think, you know, I mean, there's a lot of controversy around Trump and Cruz. And, you know, Cruz with his evangelical statements and all this stuff with God and all that, you know, which is, I have nothing against God. I believe in God and everything, but keep it out of politics. It alienates people. People mm-hmm. have to understand that. It alienates people. You know, I picked up a book the other day. I was telling you, it's called The Art of Positive Thinking or something like that by Norman Vincent Peale, who is like a known motivator like from the 30s or 40s or something.
Oh, wow.
I think it's The Power of Positive Thinking.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
It's famous.
Yeah, it is.
Very well known.
Yeah, very well known. And I thought, well, maybe I'll pick it up, you know, see what all these generations have been reading. So I pick it up and it starts nice. And then suddenly he's like, quotes from the Bible all the time. And he's like, you got to put God first and stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? This doesn't speak to me right now, you know. And it's also things from the New Testament. So if you're not Christian, how are you going to follow? You know, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it's it can alienate a lot of people. I think God has its place. I read a lot of books about it, about the subject. You know, philosophical things, scientific things, all that stuff, you know. And but to make it into an institution like that is you're just alienating people.
Right. I mean, I agree with that. You know, obviously not everybody believes and, you know, it does alienate people.
Yeah.
But playing the devil's advocate, ironically, on the other side of this argument, you know, that's his stance. He believes what he believes. Take it or leave it. You know, if you want to vote for him, vote for him. If you don't, you
exactly.
know. And I think that's kind of his stance on it, you know.
Yeah. No, that's true, you know. And that's, you know, most of the candidates don't really care what people think, although they should, because what people think is what people are going to vote. But at the same time, you really have to stop and look at the whole picture. And people have been too busy just ridiculing candidates and stuff without really making any arguments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just, I don't know, it makes me sick sometimes. I guess right now, the breaking news is Obama is visiting a U.S. mosque for the first time as president. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's making all kinds of statements like American Muslims are making us safe. That's what he just said. An attack on one religion is an attack on all religions. I don't know. This guy's just not, I can't wait for him to leave, man.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that either.
I don't know, man.
I mean, it doesn't... God. It doesn't seem very plausible to say that American Muslims are making us safe when are American Muslims who have literally attacked America.
You know, and but he loves Muslims. You know, I mean, it's no surprise. We knew that from the beginning, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start putting that ahead of your own safety and your own people's safety, there's something wrong with that. And, you know, so that's one thing Donald Trump is promising, is a much stronger country. And, but how he's going to go about it,
right.
I'm not
that
so sure.
That part is scary to
right?
me. Yeah. I know. oh, gosh. I'm scared that he might start a World War III. That's pretty terrifying.
I know. I mean, you're going to have a president that's being boycotted by other countries and shit,
I know,
and companies, and you know, I mean, what is that? You know,
right? So but, it's scary.
Yeah, but he does blame missing the debate on him not winning in Iowa. He says that, but you know, some people might say it's because. Well, he didn't show up, so we don't take him seriously and stuff. But he says, I think some people were disappointed that I didn't go into the debate. And he thinks, therefore, they didn't vote for him. So,
well, I mean, I think it just sent a bad message, to be honest. Because what are you doing having a little schoolyard feud with, you know, Megyn Kelly, who's
exactly.
a reporter? I mean, come on. Like, if you can't handle that.
Right.
There are a plethora of things that you will not be able to handle.
That's true.
And you'll hide in a corner and pout like a child.
That's true. And there's probably going to be a lot of arguing and bickering with Congress because, he's going to do his own thing. You know?
And I mean, to me, doing that was just losing sight of the entire picture. The whole point of a debate is to show the people who you should be putting first, if you're running for president, your views and your platforms, what you stand for. It's not about you.
Right.
And it's not about you and your feud.
That's true. Exactly. You know, and you try to find out who the real person is. And when you see Donald Trump doing this, you're going, well, yeah, he can't deal with people that don't like him.
Right.
And he attacks everybody by his own admission. You know, he'll come back three times as hard when you put him down or something or criticize him.
Right.
But, yeah, that's not presidential at all. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to win. But I really am hoping that Marco Rubio is going to stand out and do even better because I think he's the least controversial. He's got a good platform. He loves our allies. He loves the country. And that's what I want to see, you know, someone young and fresh and with good ideas and who knows what he's talking about. You know, in the debates, he always convinces me that he knows what he's talking about. You put Trump next to him and Trump seems like just silly.
I know. You know, it's funny because he's not like 20 or anything. But
right. He looks it, right?
He does. And compared to all of the candidates, I mean, you think, oh my gosh, he's just so young.
I know. He's a little kid.
Yeah.
And maybe that stands in his way. I mean, he is in his 40s, but.
Right. Like, he's not particularly young, you know.
But he does look young, that's true. I know, it's like he kind of don't expect all that wisdom to come out of his mouth.
Right.
Being that young.
Right. But hey, youth can be advantageous.
Yeah.
You know, when dealing with stress and having to have energy, but then again, you know, experience, who knows?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things to factor in. But yeah, I mean, I think that Trump just, you know, people saw the writing on the wall with him when he did that and just skipped the debate. And it just kind of showed people that, you know, that he's not putting things first that he should be.
Yeah, he's not making the effort, you know. That's true. Oh, well, you know, he's going to spin it the way he wants. And that's always going to happen. So
we'll see.
Yeah. But he didn't seem to be that happy that he didn't win. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's prepared for that. So we'll see. I mean, what's important is to see how things continue now, you know.
Right. I mean,
it's almost like watching a movie, you know.
Isn't it?
Unfold and stuff.
It's quite entertaining.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But then again, it's such a serious issue. So, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be so amused. But it is entertaining. It's fun to watch the process.
That's true.
So what else is in the news today?
Well, the Super Bowl obviously is coming up this weekend.
I know. Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. But nor do I believe that I'm going to be into it as much as I used to be way back when. But,
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's nice to get together with people and just have the TV running and eat. And
it is.
And stuff like that and drink and have fun, you know. That's what the Super Bowl is about.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because every Super Bowl party I've ever been to, like particularly in LA, like, you know, I'll go to a friend's house and it's, you know, they usually have a big yard and I'll watch the first quarter and then, you know, my friends and I will get to eating and drinking and by the second half we don't even know what's going on.
Don't give a shit about the game, right?
We don't even know what's going on. We're playing pool or we're, you know, doing whatever. So yeah, that's my favorite part about the Super Bowl. I could really care less about the game.
I know. It's funny. But they're talking about how much the tickets are costing, and that's amazing. Let's see. They have some really nice tickets, though, that they made. And
Yeah.
Excuse me. They look nice.
What are they? Gold trimmed?
The average resale price, $5,000.
Oh, my.
Above $5,000. Who would pay that kind of money? I guess, look, there's a lot of people with a lot of money, you know.
Right.
To them, it's like going to the movies, $5,000.
Right.
But
I mean, I know some people who would be fine to pay that, but I guess it just depends on what you like.
Exactly, on your priorities, right?
Yeah, if you're into it, then I'm sure $5,000 for the Super Bowl doesn't seem like a big deal.
Man, I'm coughing like crazy.
I know.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll wrap up a little earlier because I can't control this cough now.
Oh.
Let's see. I did want to bring up this. You hear about this Italian actor, I guess a stage actor, and they were staging a hanging scene, and he was strangled.
It he went died?
Wrong. Yeah. No, he didn't die, but he is in a coma in the hospital. A 27-year-old Raphael Schumacher was performing in an experimental production. When a member of the audience noticed that the rope around his neck was so tight, it was actually killing him. Wow. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh. That is tragic. Yeah. That was in Italy?
Yeah. That's an Italian actor.
Oh.
I know.
How sad. You know, you hear about those kinds of things. I've heard about them on Broadway and a few other places. You know, people getting in, actors getting injured. And
yeah, that's true. I remember that Spider-Man one when somebody fell off, remember?
Yes, I remember that too.
A couple years ago or something, I think it was.
So scary, but I mean, gosh, I guess it's an occupational hazard, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I stick to film. And no stunt work, unless it's on a horse.
Yeah.
Which okay. is... Oh, you're not feeling good.
I'm starting to cough too much.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, good thing it's the end of the show.
Yes, we made it.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, I can't talk much more for this morning. So we're going to wrap up. Kelsey, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Always for making this job so pleasant.
Oh.
Thank you to Megan Tall for calling in. Go out and get the book. Always excited to have you guys listening. So take care, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Yes. Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.